Study 9, Section 3, Jesus as our Representative. We have seen that the animal sacrifices were not completely representative of sinful men. Jesus was representative of us, being in all points made like his brethren, Hebrews 2, verse 17. He suffered death for everyone, Hebrews 2, verse 9, NIV. When we commit a sin, for example, we are angry, God can forgive us if we are in Christ, Ephesians 4, verse 32. This is because God can compare us with Christ, a man like us who was tempted to sin, for example, to be angry, but who overcame every temptation. Therefore, God can forgive us our sin of anger on account of our being in Christ, covered by his righteousness. Christ, being our representative, is therefore the means by which God can show us his grace, whilst upholding his own righteous principles. If Jesus was God, rather than being solely of human nature, he could not have been our representative. This is another example of where one wrong idea leads to another. Because of this, theologians have developed many complex ways of explaining Christ's death. The popular view of apostate Christendom is that man's sins placed him in a debt to God, which of himself he could not pay. Christ then cleared the debt of each believer by his blood, shed on the cross. Many a gospel hall preacher has expressed it like this.
It was as if we were all lined up against a wall, about to be shot by the devil. Jesus then rushed in, the devil shot him instead of us, so we are now free.
These elaborate theories are without any firm biblical support. There is the obvious contradiction that if Christ died instead of us, then we should not die. As we still have human nature, we must still die. Salvation from sin and death will finally be revealed at the judgment, when we are granted immortality. We did not receive this at the time Christ died. Christ's death destroyed the devil, Hebrews 2 verse 14, rather than the devil destroying him. The Bible teaches that salvation is possible through Christ's death and resurrection, not just by his death. Christ died for us once. The theory of substitution would mean that he had to die for each of us personally. The English preposition for, as in Christ died for us, has a much wider range of meaning than the Greek word which it translates. If Christ had died instead of us, the Greek word anti would have been used, but never is this word used in any Bible passage which says that Jesus died for us.
If Christ paid off a debt with his blood, our salvation becomes something which we can expect as a right. The fact that salvation is a gift brought about by God's mercy and forgiveness is lost sight of if we understand Christ's sacrifice as being a debt payment. It also makes out that an angry God was appeased once he saw the physical blood of Jesus. Yet what God sees when we repent is his Son as our representative, whom we are striving to copy, rather than we connecting ourselves with Christ's blood as a talisman. Many hymns and songs contain an incredible amount of false doctrine in this area. Most false doctrine is drummed into people's minds by music rather than rational biblical instruction. We must ever be on the watch for this kind of brainwashing.
Tragically, the simple words, Christ died for us, Romans 5 verse 8, have been grossly misunderstood as meaning that Christ died instead of us. There are a number of connections between Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15. For example, verse 12 equals 1 Corinthians 15 verse 21. Verse 17 equals 1 Corinthians 15 verse 22. Christ died for us, Romans 5 verse 8, is matched by Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3. His death was in order to make a way whereby we can gain forgiveness of our sins, It was in this sense that Christ died for us. The word for does not necessarily mean instead of. Christ died for, that is, because of our sins, not instead of them. Because of this, Christ can make intercession for us, Hebrews 7 verse 25, not instead of us. Neither does for mean instead of in Hebrews 10 verse 12 and Galatians 1 verse 4. If Christ died instead of us, there would be no need to carry his cross, as he bids us, and there would be no sense in being baptized into his death and resurrection, willingly identifying ourselves with him as our victorious representative. The idea of substitution implies a shortcut to glorification with him, which simply isn't valid. Understanding him as our representative commits us to baptism into his death and resurrection, the life of cross-carrying along with him, and realistically sharing in his resurrection. His resurrection is ours. We were given the hope of resurrection because we are in Christ, who was raised. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. The Lord Jesus lived and died with our nature, in all its waywardness, in order to be able to come close to us and to enable us to identify ourselves with him. By appreciating this doctrinally, we enable him to see the result of the suffering of his soul and be satisfied. There is a nice little cameo of this when the Lord dealt with the man whose tongue wasn't functioning properly. Because the tongue controls swallowing, surely the man was frothing in his own spittle. And yet the Lord spits and puts his spittle on that of the man to show his complete ability to identify with the human condition. It's interesting to note that there are others who've seen through the substitution theory. John A.T. Robinson, one time Bishop of Woolwich, wrote, "The New Testament writers never say that God punishes Christ. Christ stands as our representative, not as our replacement. His work is always on behalf of us, hyper, not instead of us, Greek anti. He died to sin, not so that we shall not have to, as our substitute, but precisely so that we can, as our representative." That's from Wrestling with Romans, London, SCM, 1979, page 48. See too Dorothy Sowell, Christ the Representative, London, SCM, 1967.